Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry during our September anniversary month. We are celebrating 66 years of continuous radio broadcasts. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
A wise man once said, "When one becomes a Christian, he may no longer be the sole arbiter of his own time." That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of time. We thank you that you have permitted us to live for a certain period here on this earth, to enjoy the good things that we are enjoying today, and to wrestle with those things that may sometimes be quite harmful and displeasing to our own being, but noticing your grace that is always sufficient. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that today we may learn how precious time is from your holy word, and that it may be used to the honor and the glory of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray, amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning with verse 45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowds. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you.
Elton Trueblood once wrote in his book, The Company of the Committed, "Once a Christian has become a part of Christ's company, he must be ready to give up some of his personal freedom. He may no longer be the sole arbiter of his own time. Our relationship to time is highly paradoxical in that though we live in an age marked by time-saving devices, we come to be more hectic in running from one appointment to another. Theoretically, we should have more time than all of our ancestors, but we don't seem to have it. We deliberately add to the number of our engagements until our lives are fragmented. Too many commitments amount virtually to none. A person who is always available is not worth much, says Dr. Trueblood, when he is available." I was 40 years old when I heard Dr. Trueblood speak these words, which later found their way into a book. At that time, I was a very busy person. I had a wife and three children, a large congregation to serve, and responsibilities in my community. I needed to hear Dr. Trueblood say then, "Look, you've got to begin in the name of Jesus Christ to take a good look at one of God's greatest gifts to you, time, and to determine how you are going to spend your time." I needed it when I was 40. I need it today when I am far over 70. Time is a gift from God, and it should not be wasted. You remember what the Bible says? How long are we going to live? And obviously, this is not true for all concerned, for some get to be 100 or more, and some die at a much younger age. But the Bible says 70 years and 10, or by reason of strength, 80 years. It is interesting to notice how much emphasis is placed on time, either directly or indirectly, in God's holy word. And certainly we see that lived out in the person of Jesus Christ. In our text today, it says that after he had dismissed the disciples, that is, put them into the boat, and they were on their way into the Sea of Galilee, then Jesus, leaving them all, went up onto the mountainside to pray. He was alone. He was using time. Now, he could have said, you know, this is such a busy world of which we're a part. I've got to train these disciples now. They're going to carry on after me when I have departed. I have to feed these people who are hungry, and certainly I have to preach the word of God to them. I have the tremendous task of letting them know that I am not only a person or a great preacher who was born and brought up and lived on this earth, but I have to let them know that I am the incarnate Son of God, the Savior of the world, and my mission is to seek and to save that which is lost. With an agenda like that, I must use every minute in my work. But in the midst of all of this, Jesus even gets rid of his 12 disciples, and he goes up to the mountain to pray. In other words, it was time for him to have a spiritual renewal. He was with the Father. We don't know what he was talking about. I'd love to know, wouldn't you? Suppose he could have been saying, you know, Lord, I now have these 12, and it's going to be a tremendous task to teach them, but I need your guidance. I need your direction. I know that I'm on my way to suffer and to die for the sins of the world. I don't know how it's all going to work out. And I know that it is in your plan that this will be the redemptive mission to bring people back into a living relationship with you. God, every day I pray that you will give me grace and strength to do what you want me to do. What do you pray about, friend? Do you ever feel like life is rushing in on you? There are so many things to do. When I was 40, and some of you are 40, perhaps younger, a little bit older, there are the multitude of assignments that you are given in the raising of your children, earning a living in order that their needs could be satisfied, responsibilities in one organization after another, a commitment to the Lord and his church, which also calls for time. They're busy, busy times. the time that you have to spend at your work. You cannot renege on that, can you? For as a Christian, you know good and well that you have a responsibility to give to your employer a full day's work for a full day's pay. And then there is that time where you have to rest. Some think that they can burn the candle at both ends. But pretty soon our body tells us, oh, no, you can't. I've got to have time to rest, to lie on my bed and sleep, that my body may be rejuvenated to get on the way once more. And then there's my family. If I have opted to marry and to have a family, I have committed myself to give of my time. Time, that family, after God, comes first. Now, I know we hear a great deal about people being so busy they don't give time to their family, but I also see some of the opposite. I am simply thrilled to see how the message is getting across to some of our people that they are spending time with their families. Only last evening, I went out to the golf course for a little while and played a few holes of golf. And after I had come in, I stopped and had a sandwich at the lunch counter there. It was interesting to see the dads who were out there with their boys and girls, teaching them to swing the club. The course was all but vacated. There was plenty of time. They weren't holding anybody up, and they were having a good time. It was interesting to see how moms had come along, and they were out there doing the same thing, or that the whole family had gone to the pool. I tell you, that's precious. Do you ever stop and ask your family, your children, how they feel about their childhood? The other day, I asked one of my grandsons, if you were to describe your home life as you grew up as a child, would it be happy or unhappy? And he hurried on to say, oh, it would really be happy. Now, I know he comes from a very, very busy family, but somehow or other, he claimed that they worked in plenty of time for recreation, good family talking together, and certainly the Word of God. Soon it's going to happen now, isn't it? School is going to start. Maybe in some cases it has already started. And here are these multitude of assignments given not only to the students but to the parents. For there's going to be this to go to and that to go to. And you know that you want to be there. Time. How do I get time for it all? And then there's also the time for other people. Because you sit in church and you hear the pastor say, won't you go out and visit this lonesome person or that lonesome person? Won't you teach in the Sunday school? I sometimes get just a little bit concerned. I used to get concerned when I made the announcements myself when we almost plead for Sunday school teachers. I don't like to do that because you never know for sure if the person who finally volunteers is one who has that relationship with Jesus Christ that makes her or him qualified, not so much the academic end of the thing, but the spiritual end of the thing. Wouldn't it be horrible if somebody who didn't know Jesus Christ got to teach in a Sunday school? No, you wouldn't want anything like that. But those of you who know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and here come these cries, will you not please join the group in your church who is training these children, introducing them to the Lord Jesus Christ? And then as your community, and they ask you to do this and to do that, and maybe it's become necessary for you to really give that serious thought, and maybe you find yourself on a board of education, the city council, or whatever else it might be. Those are very important jobs, and the Christian certainly has a responsibility here. Going back to Elton Trueblood again, if people will go through their date book, he says, and fill in empty places with really important commitments, including time with God, the temptation to scatter their energies will be more ably resisted. Do you have a date book? Our church at large every year sends us a little red book. I have often said to my wife, I would rather lose my New Testament than my date book. I can always go to the bookstore and buy another New Testament. But what do you do when you've lost your date book? Where do you go next? How are you going to really plan that day successfully? I've always tried to carry a daily listing of what to do. Now, you may say, what does this have to do with the Word of God? it has this to do, friend, that God has given us this time. And that time is precious. We talk about God giving us money, and this money is precious. We talk about we can't go out and throw our money away, no matter how wealthy a person might be. There is a real place for that money, if not on ourselves, then certainly on somebody else. Isn't that also true of time? It's a part of our stewardship, isn't it? Maybe we have to get a little bit older to realize how precious time is. You know, the last 2 minutes of a basketball game, when the score is close, can be an eternity. 2 minutes of playing time can be stretched into 15 minutes. Every second counts. Now, it is also true in life. We may think when we're simply in the teens or the 20s or the 30s, I got all of life ahead of me. There'll be plenty of time for it all. Not necessarily so, but it's hard to bring that message when you're of that age. But I tell you, it's not difficult when you get into the 60s and the 70s and you begin to understand that the body is not what it once was, and you realize as you read the obituaries that peers are dying, and that means that you're no exception, and soon that time will come. I tell you, time needs to be counted. It cannot be wasted. And that time has been given to us by God Almighty. Elton Trueblood helped me to take a look at how I use my time. But more than Trueblood or any other person, it is the voice of Jesus Christ who reminds me, and I pray you, that time is God's gift to us, and we need to be good stewards of this blessed gift. It is also true that we really need to be given the opportunity, and now we have it, to live with God, to spend plenty of time with Him, to delve into the truths of His holy word, and to find out what was He really saying when He spoke so glorious to me in that word. To take time when everything is rushing in upon us. Oh, my friend, the cry today from Almighty God is that you and I would draw apart, even from our families. Jesus left His disciples just to be alone. And then there's time when you want those families with you. For in many other cases, Jesus said again and again, "Let us go apart." And there He was taking His disciples. You know, what our families need is just more time together and to be alone with God and listen to Him. To sing some of those old hymns or the new ones. They're just as good, they tell me, and I believe that's true. To meditate on those lyrics. To memorize what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. To take time alone with God as a family and to say, "Lord, we know You have blessed us. Look at all of the good things that You have given to us." Do we have time for that? We better have. For that's where the family is bound together. And that's where we begin to get a sense of values as to what is really important as far as life is concerned. And then to take time out to kneel before the throne of grace, asking God for the forgiveness of our sins and asking the Holy Spirit to strengthen us in our faith, that day by day we may lay hold in a greater way, with a more total commitment, to Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, give to us a sense of values. Help us to understand that you, Lord Jesus, need a lot of our time. You have given it to us. It is yours. Now grant that we may faithfully and willingly give it back to you. First, to be alone with you. Lord, help us to understand that as parents long to sit with their children, to get their ear and to talk to them, so you long to talk with us. So alone with your Bible, may we find our way to that private place to hear what you have to say. And then, O God, grant that we may pour out our hearts to you. Help us to understand that there alone with you will come the answer to many of our problems. So today we pray for those who are sick and shut in. Sustain them with your grace and comfort them with your love. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's message and music have brought you comfort and joy. September is anniversary month for Christian Crusaders. Our first broadcast was aired September 6, 1936, on WMT Radio from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa. With 66 years of continuous radio ministry, Christian Crusaders is the eighth oldest radio ministry in the United States. We are grateful to you, our listeners, for making this ministry possible with your financial support and your prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. You can listen to this sermon again, or print out this sermon, or a choice of several hundred sermons. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.